Fifth chapter of the book of Acts. We're studying Acts from the Greek reading and research. And so we read it from Greek and then we explain it, and there's some really beautiful things in the original languages. Quite a time with these devil's playmates. They have really, the Jews that he was part of, when he found Jesus Christ as his Savior and realized that all the Old Testament scriptures that he had been studying all of his life were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, he's been in jail and under arrest for over 2 years. And the Jews never forgot about him. He's under house arrest there in Caesarea. They have never forgotten about him. They want him dead. They want Paul dead. Now, Paul is rehearsing his conversion and his dream, his vision of God. Now, I've been teaching a set of messages all the way through the Bible in dreams and visions in the Bible and hypnosis. Now, Paul is going to rehearse what happened to him on the way to Damascus. Paul was a very outstanding Pharisee before this happened. He was a student of Gamaliel, which was one of the greatest teachers of the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Old Testament. Paul was born in Tarsus. When he got old enough to begin his studies as a young man, he was taken to Jerusalem and he was under the feet or under the tutoring of Gamaliel, one of the greatest scholars, biblical scholars among the Jews in his time. Gamaliel had told these when they started arresting and trying and killing these Christian converts from Judaism, he told them, if this is of God, you can't fight it. If it is not of God, it'll go away. He said, just leave it alone and see what's going to happen. Now, here we go. We run into some really ungodly people with Agrippa and Festus and the women that they are associating with. Paul tailors each message to them and to the audiences, and he changes voice. He will speak to one person and then he'll speak to a crowd, and in Greek you can tell that, but not in the English language. Festus un epivas te apareke meta tres hemeras anabe es Jerusalem apo castoria. Therefore, Festus, having entered into the province after 3 days, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And verse number 2, Eni phoneson te auto hoi akeres kai hoi protoi ton judeon kara tu paulu kai parakalon auton. Now we know one other thing too that you need to understand. Ananias is no longer high priest. There's another high priest now. His name is Ishmael. And he is just as dead set on killing Paul as Caiaphas was and Annas was or any of the others. And both they informed him, the chief priest, and the ones, the head men of the Jews, against Paul. And they kept on beseeching him. Aito, Menoi, Karin, Kat, Auto, Hotopos, Meta, Numa, Pste, Auton, Es, Jerusalema, Endron, Poyontos, Anelen, Auto, Kata, Tain, Odon. Now they kept on interrogating him. They kept on requesting him. These words are participles, and it's a continuing thing. They didn't. Their words were not. There was no lulls between words. They kept on just absolutely beseeching him that they might have some kind of favor, so as they might summon him to Jerusalem. They're going to kill Paul. They're trying to deceive this man, and so that he will send Paul to Jerusalem, and they're going to stop on the way and kill him. Now, before, there were 40 men that said they would not eat or drink until they killed Paul. And the Sanhedrin court okayed that. But now, the whole Sanhedrin court is behind killing Paul. And if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. It says actually in the Hebrew that you shall not keep on bearing false witness, because that's what they do as a habit. And you shall not keep on murdering. It doesn't say kill. Thou shalt not kill. It does not say thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not keep on murdering. Now killing someone and murdering is the two different things. These people wanted to murder Paul. They were bearing false witness against him. They were committing perjury. And all of these were capital offenses under their own law. Now, these are the devil's playmates that are fighting against Paul. That he might send him to Jerusalem. And then we have this word, enedron. It is a very old idiom. And it means to lay a plot or an ambush. Now, in the early days, trappers went out and they trapped bears, they trapped wolves, they trapped beaver especially, and they were selling, the mountain men would go out and they would sell these pelts from these animals they were trapping. Now, that's the same word right there, is to trap. Up here, so many years ago, 1957, 58, 59, 60. I lived right up here in the summertime, about 12 miles from where I'm standing right now, up high, around close to 12,000 foot elevation in our wild horse camp. And we would go up there and we watched where the horses went. Now, Marilyn has learned, I've taught her that there are animal highways, haven't I? And you look for the animal highways, the pathways, as you're going down the road, and you're going to see animals on that highway or gathering around that highway. Now, up there, it would go up on the Mustang Mountain and back up in those big high mountains up there around 12,000, 13,000 feet. And those horses would go up there, and they would go on a narrow path this wide sometimes. And we would go up there with a pick and shovel and a dishpan. A plastic dishpan and a cotton rope, and we find limbs and snags up there, and we dig a hole in the ground where they would step over a rock or something. We dig a hole there, and it was a lot of work. And we put a plastic dishpan. They'd just come out with plastics back then, and we cut an X in the bottom of that thing and turned it upside down, and then we put a rope around it and cover it all up with dirt. And when they step over this thing, their foot would go through it, they would pull it up, and there'd be this plastic dishpan on their leg, and they would tighten up the rope, the soft cotton rope, on their leg. And I would drive the horses through those traps. And you'd get up there, and the horse would slow down, because those horses can really run. These Mustangs can take off, boy, and I mean they can run in high altitude. You take a horse up from the low altitude, and he will die up there. So we had to do something to slow those Mustangs down so we could rope them And we'd cross rope them and then lead them down those mountains. And Marilyn, you've seen those mountains. That's a rough, dangerous thing. That word trap right there is a word like that. That means to trap. And they were making this trap. And the word there is poiontes. And it is nominative plural masculine, present participle active. They kept on wanting to trap Paul. Like he was a wild animal. Like he was a murderous beast. And yet he was the only innocent one among them. They wanted to kill him. They wanted, actually the word there, anelein, that means to murder. That means to take his life. Thou shalt not keep on lying. They're lying to this man here. They're lying to Festus. Because they've got a plot. They've got a trap. They want to kill Paul. Why would they want to kill this man?
Because he taught about Jesus.
Because he left their group. Now I want you to understand here, this is church history chart behind me. All the way from here, all the way over here to the end of this, we have false religion persecuting true religion. True religion does not go out and start wars. True religion does not go out and murder people. True religion doesn't go out and bear false witness. And yet here are what we have, the devil's playmates. Right here trying to kill Paul. They're treating Paul like a murderer or a horrible person, and yet they're like wild animals. Like a lion or a tiger or a snake. Nahash. They will slip up on people and they will strike them. To kill him. Along the way. Verse number 4 now. Homen un phaistos apokrite kereste ton palon eis cetherion iauton de melein en toxe ek poruste. Now, therefore, indeed, Festus, he answered, he was called to answer, to be kept and guarded Paul in Caesarea. And he himself was about to intend to shortly, in toxe, to shortly to go forth. He was going to go there. Now, he wasn't about to, he was suspicious of these scoundrels. Do you think that the Roman emperors, do you think that the Roman governors and the commanders didn't know about how these Jews had killed Christians? Do you think they were ignorant of what they had done to James? What they had done to Stephen there at Stephen's gate? They knew what was going on. And this man is suspicious of these people. Now here we are, righteous, pompous, proud, religious people plotting to murder, plotting to bear false witness, plotting to commit perjury. Hoi un en hemen facen dinatoi sina ka bantais A te esten en to andri a topon kata gore re toson. And therefore he says in you, you're able to come down with me. Is there any reason why you cannot come down to me? And then you, if he's done anything amiss, let them accuse him there. Let them accuse him there. Verse number 6 now. Dia thripsos de en altois semeros un pleois octo e deca katabas eis cesareon te epuron kathisos epi tu vematos. ekeleison ton apollon Athene. And having stayed among them an excess of 8 or 10 days, and having gone down unto Caesarea in the next day, and having sat upon the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought forth. Verse number 7. Paragenomeno de auto peresteson auton hoi apo Jerusalem kara be bo kontes Iudeoi palo kai baria aitomata kara ferontes ha uk iskon apodexon. And having arrived, and he having arrived, they stood around him, the ones from Jerusalem. Having come down, these Jews, many of Jews, and bearing heavy charges against him, which not they kept on being able to prove. In other words, what were they doing? They were lying. They couldn't prove any of the charges that they were bringing against this man. Their charges were too weak to stick. The devil's playmates are short-handed again because they're lying. Some of the worst sins ever committed have been committed in the name of religion. These Jews knew that Jesus the Messiah was the Messiah, King of Israel. He healed a leper. Then he healed 10 lepers. He healed blind people. And every time anyone was ever healed in Jesus' ministry, he would tell them, go show yourself to the priest. First of all, they couldn't go to the synagogue unless they were declared clean. Every one of these had to be verified by a scribe and a priest in the local synagogues. Remember the blind man? The lepers? The dead? The sick? All of the people that Jesus healed, every one of them had to go to a priest and say, here I am. One blind man there says, he came there and they were angry at him. They said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. You're not the one that was blind from the mother's womb and you've been blind for so many years. He said, yes, I am. So then they called his parents in. And they said, is this your son? They said, yes. Are you sure this is your son? They said, well, we know our son. Wasn't your son blind from birth? Yep, that's right. Who is this infidel? Who is this terrible person that healed him? By the power of Satan, you know. They said, we don't know. Our boy is of age. Ask him. And you know what happened? He said, I don't know. Their parents were kicked out of the local synagogue. They didn't want them telling the other Christian or the other believers and Judaistic religious people what Jesus had done. And not too long after this, Jesus ran into this guy. And he said, I don't know who healed me. Or he said, are you the one blind? Yes, but I don't know who healed me. And Jesus said, I did. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Then he went back and told the people, I know who did it. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Every clean bill of health that was ever given to these people certified that Jesus was the Messiah and King of Israel. Now let's go back and read all of this up to verse number 7. Paul's going to start his own defense later. And now when Festus had entered into his own province, After 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And there, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid charges before him against Paul. Now, these are all false charges. This is all perjury. And they kept on begging and urging him, asking a favor that he would have him brought to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, they were planning an ambush to murder him on the way, on the road. Festus answered that Paul was in custody in Caesarea, and that he himself planned to leave for there in real soon, in a hurry. So he said, let those who are in a position of authority and are influential among you go down with me, and if there's anything amiss or criminal charges or criminal behavior about this man, then let them charge him there. So Festus had remained among them not more than 8 or 10 days. Then he went down to Caesarea and took his place in the judgment seat and ordered Paul to be brought forth before him. And when he arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood all around him, bringing many grave accusations against him, which they were not able to prove. Does this remind you what happened with Jesus? Here are these religious leaders of the whole nation of Israel had Jesus arrested. They paid a man, Judas Iscariot, 30 pieces of silver to go out and hold on to him while they caught him. And they went down there, and 5 times Pontius Pilate declared that Jesus was innocent of all charges. And not only was that saying that Jesus was innocent of all the charges, but they were guilty of misrepresenting their nation. They were guilty of perjury, and they were guilty of intended murder. And here they are again doing the same thing. They haven't got saved yet. They haven't repented of their sins yet, have they? And yet they're the religious leaders of a nation. When Jesus was being tried, Pontius Pilate tried every way in the world to turn him loose. He knew Jesus. And he thought, there's one murderous scoundrel that's going to die out there on the cross today. His name is Barabbas. And Barabbas means son of the father. Now, Barabbas was a Sicarii. He was a murderer. Barabbas had gone into the different villages all over the nation of Israel and kidnapped people. They raped women. They stole their food, all in the name of the insurrection that they were going to bring back glory to Israel and shake off the Roman chains. Well, Pontius Pilate knew that he had done this. He had even kidnapped the high priest and demanded ransom for him. And he said, surely, if I say Barabbas or Jesus, they're going to say, well, don't put Barabbas among us again. We don't want him. But what did they say? Give us Barabbas. And he was dumbfounded. Why would they want a murderer that had kidnapped them and all of this? Why do they hate this innocent man so much? But the story is that let us kill him. He will take our religion away and our nation away, and we will lose our powers. So they were willing to do anything against the will of God. And yet all the time being religious to kill a man. The real Messiah of God, he proved who he was. Our Father, we send this message out this evening. I pray that it'll touch people's hearts all over, that they'll see what Paul and the other apostles went through. Even John was tortured. And Father, I know that there are many places in the world today where Christians are killed every day. For they're facing the same thing that Paul faced and Jesus faced and Peter and James and Stephen. Father, when we're able to serve you and glorify you with our lives, please help us to be thankful for that. And Father, please use this message to save people's souls and to make them grateful for what you've done for them. In Jesus' name we pray.